Welcome to Area Matters News and Comment from a White Racialist Viewpoint. This is an extended version of the program. This is James Hawthorne in the main chair. Sitting alongside me is Mr. Lee Gardner. Good evening, Lee.
Hi. How are you doing, James?
Doing great. We've had a lot of emails about you, young man. And the main problem is I have problems as well, because here you go off to America for your Christmas holiday. But as you say, you Americans say vacation.
Yeah.
Then you come back and you get really ill.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Well, I had some problems breathing through my nose, which was coming and going, and then it finally stopped up, I guess is the best way to put it.
It bunged up?
It bunged up, and I couldn't breathe through my nose properly.
Uh-huh.
So I had to go in for surgery for that.
And then after that, other stuff happened. Then you had respiratory problems.
Yeah, I have problems. They thought might be bronchitis or, a flu or whatever. Just it all came together at once. And I also had problems with my stomach,
mm-hmm.
where they thought I might, or my abdomen, where they thought I might have appendicitis,
mm-hmm.
or Crohn's disease or something else. It was just one after the other, but now it's pretty much over.
The analogy here, my good friend, is don't fly home for Christmas because you never know what you're going to pick up in Texas.
Yeah.
Because Texas now is being flooded with the mestizos and non-whites, so all these germs are floating around probably in the atmosphere. I reckon even in Texas now and Arizona and in California, I reckon even the pollen is friggin' polluted with some mestizo, unrecognizable disease.
Yeah.
So the message of the story here is, if you've got to go home for Christmas, take a gas mask with you.
Yeah, you know, that's no joke, because they apparently they brought tuberculosis back,
mm-hmm.
right, in North America. And, of course, that's a very contagious thing, and... Yeah, that's no joke at all. It's for real.
No joke at all. I just want to, on that situation, if people want to read about tuberculosis and other diseases, there's a great newspaper out right now called The Aryan Alternative. You can go there at govnn.com. They have a page, or a section of a page, about mestizos and basically the infestation, not only of Mexicans into America, but also they're bringing their diseases in,
yep.
and white people are getting them.
Right.
So you've been in the great state of Texas for your Christmas holiday. I'm hoping that it wasn't something that was brought in by these filthy, for the most part, Mexicans.
Yep. But you know, now that kind of crap can happen anywhere, anytime, because a Chinaman with the bird flu
can
get on a plane and be in the U.S., you know, in what, 12 hours or something?
Mm-hmm.
And spread that around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this bird flu has been happening for our people listening to the program in the United States. And we've been getting all this news from in Europe about the bird flu, which is like slowly, I think it was in Vietnam it started, but now it's like, for the next thing, now it's in some place in Eastern Europe with birds, and it's the one thing that has in common with air travel. Diseases can travel really quick, just like AIDS in Africa came over here into the Western world and affected our people because of air travel. It can happen so fast.
Yeah.
My first story of the evening is I'm not going to apologize this evening if we sound a bit inebriated. We've been celebrating a great victory today. The chairman of the British National Party, Nick Griffin, and his colleague Mark Collett, were freed. The British state tried to frame them up on so-called racial hatred charges, and this three-week trial proceeded on, and everyone was thinking that Nick and Mark would be found guilty and probably do six. The normal thing here in Britain is if they can get you on these so-called stupid race laws, these laws, when we have either a national socialist government or a nationalist government, doesn't matter, in these islands of Great Britain, these laws are going. So, but while these laws are still here, we have to work around them. They showed Nick Griffin's speeches, which were taped by an undercover reporter for the insidious BBC, otherwise known as the Blatant Bias Corporation. And BBC reporter infiltrated the British National Party ranks and was just sitting there with a video camera taping Nick Griffin's speeches and Mark Collett's speeches. What happened during this trial was the Queen's Counsel for the State were cherry-picking little bits of speeches that Mark made and that Nick made, and were trying to infer that these remarks were the totality of their speeches, meaning that the speeches were hateful, were racist, were meant on whooping up the crowd to go and attack the immigrants in Great Britain at the moment. When you see these speeches, and the British National Party put them up on the website, they put Nick Griffin's speech up. Once you saw the speech in its totality, mm-hmm. then these remarks that were taken out of context by the Queen's Counsel for the State, the speech flowed perfectly, mm-hmm. and these remarks were perfectly acceptable within the speech, which found out when, as we're celebrating today, this great victory for white kind in Great Britain, the jury saw it. The jury knew that the State was cherry-picking certain aspects of these two men's speeches to make them look like evil, racist Nazis. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about this is that the jury, this time, years ago, had this been a trial, Mr. Griffin and Mr. Collett, they'd be going to prison. Mm-hmm. With John Tyndall, the same. 85, they took him to court over articles from Spearhead magazine, and they cherry-picked the articles. But at that time, the British people were still in the mindset that what we push forward is evil and Nazi, and it's unacceptable in British society. So off goes John Tyndall for 6 months in prison. But this time things seem to be changing, because the people on the jury went back there as good British citizens, looked at the totality of the evidence, didn't go with the QC, the State's analogy that these speeches were hateful, and found the speeches to be reasonable and coherent, and Nick Griffin and Mark Collett walk free today. Mm-hmm. Hence the celebration.
Yep. Good reason to celebrate.
Now, can you believe that, as an American here, with your First Amendment, all this about people can be taken to court over what you say, and you have the great First Amendment back to you,
yeah.
your countrymen.
Yeah.
Can you believe this nonsense?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising because of, you know, the society that we're living in. Just white people have to live in, especially in Europe after World War II, right? It's not that surprising. It's very disgusting. Of course, you know, we said, well, this is great. We're very happy that Nick Griffin and Mark Collett got off, right, because the jury let them off and said, you know, this is nonsense. But they're going to try it again, aren't they? They're going to try to retrial the guy, and they're going to get him, and it's because of who? It's not because the people want this, right, like the people on the jury or whoever else. It was the BBC working in collusion with our government. And what that shows is, again, they have this agenda. And the agenda that they're pushing is the Jewish agenda. Just like in America, okay, we say, oh, yeah, we got this great, you know, freedom of speech. We can say whatever we want. But that's not true. Because if you think you can get on television and say anti-Semitic or race hatred kind of stuff, they won't let you. And if you did get on, they'll cut you off. A lot of the stuff that happens on some of the talk shows that used to be on there years ago, I don't know if they're still on, but like Jerry Springer, Jenny Jones, all these shows, they had people who were either paid actors or were lunatics who would get up and say, yeah, we're white nationalists, we're neo-Nazis, you know, wear uniforms, and be made to look stupid. Okay, they were not real National Socialists. And they just did that, of course, for one, to have a sensational show that might make some ratings or something. Plus, another one is to show everybody that you're supposed to regard these guys as liars, as clowns, as stupid, as dupes, as brainwashed, as idiots, racist, haters, ignorant, blah, blah, whatever you want to call them. And that's the way they present it in those shows. But the reality of it is, as real thinking, intelligent people know, if they actually go out and speak to a National Socialist or whatever, everybody's perfectly reasonable and not foaming at the mouth haters and definitely not ignorant. In fact, it's the opposite. It's the fact that all American students and, you know, British students now, and of course German students and everyone else, French students, are taught to believe one certain thing, and like, especially about World War II, to believe one side of the story only, and they only get told one side of the story. They don't hear the German side of the story. So it's the same with all this stuff with taking things out of context. Yeah, they took part of what Nick Griffin said out of context, and in the whole context, it's not so bad, and definitely it's the truth anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was made to a private meeting. But taking things out of context is an example of what the Jews do all the time, because the one thing that comes to mind right away is the big lie, right? So taking the quote of what Hitler said about the big lie and making it seem like he was advocating lying to the public is what they like to do. But if you read it in context, in full context of what he said the Jews are the ones who like to use the big lie, and it's something that we should all look out for. You know, that's just an example of how they take things out of context, and that's just what happens. You know, it's Nick Griffin. Like I said, if we think that in America, if Americans think that they're free, they're not, because you can't get up and be, you know, equally heard, get equal time with Bill O'Reilly or something. And if you did, I mean, they wouldn't let you. They wouldn't give you equal time. They would cut it out. They would selectively edit it.
As you know, the Blatant Bias Corporation, BBC, has a show called Question Time, which me and you regularly view this show. The British National Party, not one time, has been allowed to have a representative on the party on the panel.
That's right.
Not one time. And you know what? The British National Party is slowly becoming, or maybe right now, the fourth largest party in Great Britain. After this trial, I'm fairly convinced it's the fourth largest party in Britain, but after all this publicity we've got, the BNP's had, and I believe the donations have been flown into the party, I'm quite convinced now that the BNP is Britain's fourth largest party. Even so, we have people, the BNP has people who are elected, yet on Question Time they will not have a British National Party representative on the panel. Also in the United States, they call us evil racists, they call us Nazis, they call us every name under the sun. They call us cranks, lunatics, every name you can think of. The Jewish media calls us this.
Yep.
But when we offer them the challenge to go on their programs and debate with them, they refuse point blank and say, no, we can't give a platform to the evil National Socialist or evil Nationalist or even evil Fascist, whatever. Don't give them a platform. We cannot give them a platform. Well, why can't they give us a platform?
Yeah.
The reason why they can't give us a platform is because we speak coherently, and we speak the truth, and we speak something that are millions and millions of people are longing to hear.
Yeah.
And they know that if we put them on their media, that will be the opening of the door for them going on the planes, boats, and trains.
That's right.
Out.
That's right. There's no way they can win in a free, open, honest debate with us, right? Because we have the truth on our side and the facts on our side, and they do not. It's like we said before regarding certain things like why are they comparing us to something that's something like the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot or UFOs or some kind of strange belief. You know, if there's something really wrong with our beliefs and they believe that, well, all of these other topics are free game. Everybody can get up and say, yeah, I believe in UFOs or whatever. Let's all talk about it. You know, do you believe in UFOs? Let's have a debate. You cannot do that with National Socialism. Now, if they really thought, well, it's not true, then why wouldn't they let you? Or if it's just all these guys are fooling themselves, let them make fools out of themselves and get up and debate us. Well, why won't they let people do that? See, that shows right there that it's not the same, that they really have an ulterior motive, which is, like you said, to save their ass, because they know that when people hear what we say, it's the truth, it's the facts, they will go with us, and if they go with us, that means the Jews and everybody are out.
Jews know. Exactly why. Jews know that the enemy is National Socialism. National Socialism and National Socialists know that the Jew is the enemy. So why would the Jew give us, in their defense, why would they give us the people, when we do come to power eventually, ask them to hop on their planes, boats and trains and go?
Yeah.
So it's in their interest not to allow us on their media.
Absolutely. It makes perfect sense, right? They're stopping us from doing it because they know we're right and they will lose power. And they want to hold power at all costs. But this whole thing, again, with Nick Griffin, it just should just demonstrate to people. First off, we're very happy that they got off. And now, you know what? This BBC thing, you know, has backfired because their publicity has got to be showing more people, well, hey, those guys didn't do anything wrong, and here they're getting off. And now what else did they say? Because they were right on that, and, you know, they want to learn more, and here they're not in trouble. Okay, so that's good. But it should show people, again, to demonstrate to people, there's something wrong here. Why did this BBC reporter infiltrate it? And why did they bring it to court? You know, this is some kind of collusion here again.
With the government.
Yeah, with the government. People, it's the people in power there. There's people pulling the strings here that don't want to lose their power.
There was a guy, David Blunkett, and we called him Blind Blunkett. He's a blind politician for our friends in America. He's a blind politician who used to be in the Home Secretary. He was overheard saying that while he was in charge of the Home Secretariat of the British government, that his main issue was to destroy the British National Party and nationalism in Great Britain. That was his policy, to destroy it. This is a blind white man. Now, this blind white man got caught with his hands in some ladies' pants, or as we say in here in Great Britain, knickers. And
I like knickers.
He got the big boot.
I don't like niggers, but I like knickers.
Yeah, he lied, and he got the big boot from government, Mr. Blunkett.
They're a bunch of liars, right? They're constantly
double-faced, cheesy, filthy politicians who have no courage and who have no backbone, and who will do anything for, to use a good American expression here, they'll do anything for a buck.
Yeah. And they don't represent the people. That's what we complain about, and people have to see more and more that all of your political leaders, you know, in any nation, anywhere, you want your leaders to represent your people, your indigenous people, the people of the ancestors that built the nation, right? And here, anybody constantly getting up and saying anything you say against Muslims is incitement to racial hatred and you should shut up or go to jail. That is absolutely crazy. It is insane to do that to the people, the ancestors or descendants of the people who built the nation. It's crazy. It's saying that now they're admitting their enemy is the descendants of the people who built the nation. They are against the people, basically. They're not for the people or working in the interest of the people at all.
I just want to qualify here that Area Matters does not, has not, and will not put forward views which would embarrass the British National Party. We have no contact. We have no membership of the organization. We're not involved with the organization. All we're doing here today is just putting forward our views on this great victory for basically white nationalism. We have no contact with the organization whatsoever. I just want to make that quite clear.
That's true.
Great point that Nick Griffin makes. And quote, if the CPS feel they must continue to persecute us simply for telling the truth, then we will see them in court. And that was Nick Griffin, a good quote from Nick Griffin on that. I think the people there were, as they came out of court, were so energized. I think us looking at this on the telly, on the BBC, it was the top story on the BBC. Mm-hmm. 6 o'clock news, 10 o'clock news, top story, BBC, one of the major news channels that everyone watches over here. Mm-hmm. So everyone was energized to see those two great patriots come out court, hands in the air, you know, everyone very, very happy. We were happy. We were hopping and jumping up, me and Lee was, over this great victory for white people. Mm-hmm. But again, the Jewish establishment feels that the persecution of British patriots is not enough, and they're going to retry Nick Griffin and Mark Hollett again over certain charges that were dropped by the jury, so they're going to bring them back again. The state seems to be like a drunk boxer. I see the state's a drunk boxer there. They've been bashed for like 3 weeks by the great counsel for the BNP, and they don't know when to stop. The state's coming back now in like a day's, like a big boxing match. Nick Griffin mentioned that in his great blog during the trial. I see that like a boxing match, and the state's now days. He's been hit a few times, and he fell down on the floor, but then he's picking himself up, and he's dazed and he's dazzled. He doesn't know what to do, and all the state knows what to do is attack this evil state in all our Aryan lands. These evil governments who are killing our people, they will do everything they can to get rid of us, to smash us, to crush us, every which way they can. Even in America, with that insidious Patriot Act, which should be dispensed, every good American who believes in the First Amendment Constitution should get rid of that Patriot Act. It's insidious. It's undermining your free speech, and it's undermining your constitution. And that's coming from a guy who's in another freaking country. If I can see it, why can't you lot see it?
Yeah.
So, we're going to try and retry them. I don't know. I mean, they won the first time. Will the state try to load the deck to move the case to London?
Yeah.
I think that's a good possibility. Maybe they'll move the case from Leeds to London, where there's more an ethnic composition of the jury.
Yeah.
Meaning more niggers and packies there to send these two white lads to jail,
yeah,
to prison,
exactly,
for a long time.
Yeah, we were talking about that, saying, you know, before the verdict came out a while back, we were saying, if the jury lets them go, we would think that this kind of shows something, that there's maybe a change in the population of, hey, we're not putting up with this kind of harassment for people's speech. You know, they didn't do anything. They did not go out and hurt anybody, kill anybody. They did not recommend going out and hurting anybody, killing anybody, burning any buildings or anything like that. Maybe these people will come out and say, you know, this isn't right, just from a general standpoint of, you know, common sense, fair play, Anglo-Saxon law. It just doesn't make sense to do that. But we did not know the ethnic composition of the people that are in the jury. And obviously, I think the vote had to be unanimous, right? So it had to be over six, because there was 12. Is that right? And it had to be seven or more voting one way or the other. But obviously, if there's, you know, a majority of Muslims and other people, they would probably say the stupidity, you know, because they don't care about our kind of Anglo-Saxon laws and that, those kind of things. It's just going back to another example. This is the Iranian president, all right, Ahmadinejad is his name. He says these things about the Holocaust and Israel should be wiped off the map, and what he meant, of course, was that the borders should be Israel shouldn't be a state as recognized by any borders. It should just be wiped off. The things that he says are somehow all of a sudden, he can't say that, is what people are trying to tell him. You can't talk that way. And I say, hell, he can say whatever the hell he wants. It doesn't matter who he is. If he's the president of Iran or any country, or if he's just a regular guy in the street, he can say whatever he wants. Guess what? If your opinion is wrong or your, you know, ideas are wrong, that's one thing. He did not say, we are declaring war on Israel if they do not do this and this by such a date. You know what I mean? That is different, because now he's gone into the aggressive mode, and obviously that's not what a peaceful person does. He can say whatever he wants, as far as I'm concerned, like Nick Griffin can, and even anybody, an Arab or whatever, in our country, if they're observing our laws, they can say whatever the hell they want too. That doesn't mean they're right. That doesn't mean, you know, anybody else is right. But they should be allowed to say it, and then everybody should know, well, they can decide on their own who is right or wrong. But what we've got here is the media, especially the BBC and American media, everybody condemning the president of Iran just like they condemn Nick Griffin. It's the same thing. It's the same people behind it pulling the strings of, we've got to, they don't like what they say, so they're going to try to do something about it. They're going to try to shut them up and stop them. That's all it is. It's all from one level to a higher level, to the level of what it is for Iran, is they are probably going to be attacked militarily for these kind of things.
And as we said before, who owns the media?
The Jews.
There you go. That's what
Absolutely.
That's what and your one of your stories?
Yeah, actually, I didn't get a chance to print out the details of the stories, but one of the things I'd like to talk about is that the National Socialist Movement is having a rally in Orlando, Florida. I believe the date is February 26th.
That should be fun.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Pack your bags and get to Orlando now.
Yes, we would like to encourage everybody, you know, that can in America. Of course, we're not there, but everybody that's in America to and part of any group. See, that's the thing about the National Socialist, and just like National Socialist Movement people, we accept and are work in solidarity with all of our white brothers and sisters everywhere. And they will say, it doesn't matter what you're in, the National Vanguard, the National Alliance, you know, the Creator Movement, the White Revolution, it doesn't matter. Just come there, Ku Klux Klan, just come there and show your support and help them. I think this one has the prospects of the Toledo thing. I think that the niggers will go ape, to put it, you know, mildly.
It's good, though. I've been following the situation also online, and it's great because at last we have an organization in the United States that's standing up for white people. But they're not only standing up for white people online, on the internet, they're getting out on the streets, and they're bringing their members on the streets to confront black crime for the most part. You know, that's a great thing to see, white men and women standing up on the streets in America for our race. It's a great thing. No one can say that that's a bad thing.
Nope.
We need more white people standing up in all our white lands. It's happening in Europe slowly. All the nationalist parties are growing. It's unbelievable when that thing in France happened. There were 2 weeks of riots in France. The Front National membership has blossomed. The BNP, these 3 weeks of stuff, the membership has blossomed.
Yeah.
All over America. I mean, there's only one organization that we can see that's doing something on the streets, and that's the National Socialist Movement, and I'll give them kudos for that, from this side of the pond anyway.
Right.
At least they're out in the streets doing something.
Right, yeah. Bill White, Commander Jeff Scoop, you know, all these guys, they're doing a great job. And keep in mind, that is how the National Socialists won power in Germany, is by going from town to town and, you know, inciting excitement among the populace and getting people to recognize their name and come out to hear what they have to say, you know. And some of these things, these aren't these aren't necessarily, you know, rallies and things where people are giving lectures, but they will be. So they could you know, have a rally one time, and the next time they come out and give have a demonstration one time, and the next time they come out have a rally. And the name recognition, just like Rockwell did, that's what you have to do, because guess what? You cannot get any publicity on the television saying, hey, you know, we're going to be out here, and guess what? These are our views on this. You can't get that. So what you've got to do is you've got to make that happen by one way or the other. Okay, so if you appear out there, if something goes wrong, okay, you get bad publicity, but then there's more people looking at it saying, well, what are those guys about? What is their agenda? What is their political program and everything else? That's what you want. And then, again, if when you come out the second time, they say, hey, I want to hear those guys again, see what they have to say.
Apparently, I've been looking at the ANTI websites, the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL. Even the enemy now, because of what the National Socialist Movement has been doing on the streets, it's not only infected the activists of the white nationalist movement in America. I believe large chunks of white revolution have just joined the National Socialist Movement. Also, large sections of the National Alliance people, apart from joining Kevin Strom, have also joined the National Socialist Movement. There is a, because of that activity on the streets and being going out on the streets and showing themselves and fighting this black crime and fighting the Jews in a really strong way, it's sort of radicalized, well, what I've been finding here, radicalized the membership of the white nationalist movement. They're seeing the National Socialist Movement on the street fighting it, and they've left their organizations to join this active organization. We're not endorsing the National Socialist Movement here on Area Matters. We're just making a point of what's going on here. An organization is a street, is on the street fighting for our people and our race, fighting black crime, fighting these fucking evil fucking niggers who are raping our white women. This organization is on the streets of America and saying, we're not going to take this crap anymore.
Right.
And guess what? People and activists from other white nationalist organizations have joined the Socialist Movement, and the enemy has said that the National Socialist Movement is America's largest white nationalist organization.
That's right.
At the moment.
America's fastest growing white nationalist.
Yeah.
No, well, they say neo-Nazi
organization. Yeah.
But hey, that's great. Anybody who has success on these along any lines,
we don't care who it is,
yeah,
so long as they're freaking successful.
Somebody's got to win.
Well, yeah.
Nobody is winning, and anybody who says, no, our group is better because we're winning or we got more income or whatever, that's bullshit. The real measurement of who is winning or who is not is someone who takes power and changes the government, changes the laws in a pro-white way.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you've won. That's when people are winning. No one has done that. No one, you know, until they do, they can't say they're winning.
Yep.
We say, you know, this is great that they're making this progress. That's all we say, you know, to the National Socialist Movement, and we wish them luck.
Somebody says that, my God, there's no way that an openly National Socialist organization can win power in the United States. Now you have to qualify that statement by saying, hang on a minute. The one thing that the United States did not have do during the Second World War, they never had German bombs bombing their cities.
Right.
So there's no historical underlying aspect of, in Britain and in Europe, bombings by the German Air Force.
Right.
Okay. There's no historical perspective of that in the United States. Right?
Right.
So as things move along and the older generation has died off, we're having younger people who have looked at National Socialism and said, you know what, this worked in the 1930s, and you know what, people were happy. You look at all these pictures of Hitler Youth and League of German Maidens and all, in all these controlled books.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all happy and they're all smiling.
Yeah.
They're all smiling, you know. So, but for people in the United States to say that an openly National Socialist organization cannot make headway in the political melee of that country, I think it's quite false.
It is false, and not only that, the problem is when they're saying that, is what I just said about who's winning. They have no leg to stand on because they can't say, I know the right way, you know, I can prove it. I know the right way. We're winning. Well, they're not winning. No one is winning. So don't get up and say, well, you can't win if you go with the swastika and the National Socialism because you can't, you know, because we know better. How the hell do you know better? You're not winning either. Nobody is winning. And you're right about the point of saying, you know, the Germans never bombed America or anything else. You know, what is keeping them back from National Socialism? The biggest thing that's keeping them back is the lies about the Holocaust and saying that if you are a Nazi, what that means, according to the conformist, right, is that you are a ignorant fool who persecutes Jews for their religion to the point of mass murdering them for no reason. That's the short definition of what Americans believe about the Holocaust and all the bullshit lies, which is really a blood libel against the Germans, and the Jews better think about that, because that kind of thing hanging over the head, if we ever get power, which we plan on doing, that kind of thing is going to suffer, they're going to suffer the consequences of that blood libel charge against the German people. But that is a story which is true. If someone gets up and says, you know, you'll never win, or you should never promote National Socialism or the swastika and all that, because that's associated with the Holocaust. That is true. That's why we got to tell the whole truth about the Holocaust. That doesn't mean we should abandon National Socialism, which is a stupid, you know, thing to believe in. You should never abandon something that you know is the truth, something that you know works. That kind of thing is very irritating to me, and I hear a lot of people who are otherwise intelligent who made some comments or make some associations with, you know, Bush and Hitler and Nazis and tyranny and this bullshit connections which are not true. If someone really understands what National Socialism was, what the form of government was in the Third Reich, well, the way people were treated under the Third Reich and everything else, they would understand that it is not tyrannical.
There's two good things which I've been observing in the United States. One's been happening in Nevada with Mr. O'Sullivan. He's a member of National Vanguard, also a chairman of the White People's Party, bringing out an overtly White People's Party in the state of Nevada. They're on course to be registered, and they're going to stand candidates as a pure white racialist party. That's kudos to Mr. O'Sullivan. Give him the three thumbs up, if I even had three thumbs. Also, want to give a big three thumbs up to the National Socialist Movement, PAC 88. This is a political, the only first time in National Socialist, white nationalist politics that we have in the United States, a fully authorized legal political PAC for National Socialists. And this PAC is registered with the federal government, and it's going to help the National Socialist Movement to run candidates in state, local, and even the national election in year 2008. And on that point, ladies and gentlemen, fellow comrades, fellow white nationalists and national socialists, a quick word from our president.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, we cannot let terrorists and rogue nations hold this nation hostile or hold our allies hostile. Nobody can threaten this country. Oh, they may be able to bomb of buildings. We say to seniors, we understand how important prescription drug coverage, so prescription drugs will be an integral part of the Medicare plan. A peace, free and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact. I don't think we need to be subliminal about the differences between our views on prescription drugs. It'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi al-Shib, or whatever the guy's name was. The law signed today directs new funds and new focus to the task of collecting vital intelligence on terrorist threats and on weapons of mass production.
Stop the idiocy. Vote National Socialist in 2008.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. President. Yeah, we want to restore chaos. Very good. You know, I saw this bumper sticker once that said, somewhere in Texas, a village is missing its idiot.
We know where he is.
Yeah, he's in the fucking White House.
Pennsylvania, what?
1500 Pennsylvania Avenue. Fucking moron.
But don't forget, though, Vote National Socialist, the first chance in the United States where you can vote National Socialist, 2008, people. It's a good chance to
stop the idiocy.
Put your cross where you believe it should be.
Yeah.
And your story for the second time.
Your second story.
Oh, my second story.
And your second story.
Well,
James.
Apologies, we've been celebrating too much this great evening. Once again, we're going into the bowels of the Simon Wiesenthal Center, that evil organization that haunts North America and the world. The evil Jew. Nazi Hunter denounces Austria as a paradise for war criminals. It's the title of this one from the Independent London. Just briefly, a director of the Simon Wiesenthal Center has described Austria as a paradise for Nazi war criminals and bitterly criticized the government and legal authorities for failing to bring suspected Holocaust perpetrators to justice.
Yeah.
Austria is a paradise for Nazi war criminals. If that's the case, book me a ticket. I want to go. I really want to go there. However, the gentleman, and I use the word here, gentleman, very loosely, Mr. Zirkoff from the Wiesenthal Center, said yesterday that he had been given by Karin Gastinger, the Austrian Justice Minister, that a new law would be needed in Austria was to contribute to increasing the $325,000, that's a quick calculation here, $325,000 is £180,000. I can see you're impressed about that. Reward currently offered by Germany and the Wiesenthal Center for information leading to Haim's arrest. Now, the gentleman here, I can't see his name, but obviously Mr. Haim is a so-called Nazi war criminal, and Austria is a paradise for them. The Austrian country where good old Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California, is now a resident in Sacramento. Arnold Schwarzenegger, whose father was a member of the
SS, I heard.
A member of the party, yes.
Yeah.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger from Austria, who kowtowed to the Jews. Not only kowtowed to the Jews, but also paid the Jews money for his father's, quote, indiscretions, unquote, and being a member of the party.
Yeah.
And now Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't think twice about trodding over his father's memory to kowtow with these fucking Jews and hold up a menorah over the Christmas holidays.
Yeah. Didn't you say that, didn't he have to give the Wiesenthal Center something like $1 million donation?
Yeah.
So they wouldn't, basically, so they wouldn't fuck with him? I mean, that's, isn't that like blackmail or
it's called
extortion? What?
Protection money.
Yeah.
And as we all know, the gangsters in the old days were, for the most part, Jews.
Yeah.
Protection money.
Yeah, the Jews were the leaders in the mob organizations, like Meyer Lansky and these guys, Bugsy Siegel. They were all fucking Jews. And, of course, they blame it on the Sicilians and Italians, which were involved in some of that, but not as much as the Jews were, and they were, of course, the most ruthless one. That fucking movie, Casino, with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci, De Niro is a Jew, and here he is the mob boss, you know, and you're supposed to like him. I mean, they make him to be some likable character, right? And of course, everybody else is fucking screwed up, but he's a great, nice Jewish guy, you know, who just got mixed up in it by accident.
The Wiesenthal Center is the gangster organization of today. Not only is the Simon Wiesenthal Center the gangster organization of today, also is the Anti-Defamation League in America.
Oh, yeah.
Also as the British Board of Jews of Deputies in Britain. I can never get that one correct. The Board of British Deputies of Jews.
Yeah.
They are the gangster organization in Britain. You have one in France. You got one in Germany.
Yeah.
You got one in Switzerland, Norway.
And
all
you have
all our Aryan lands. These blood-sucking parasites and their organizations are there.
Yeah. And you have European organizations like the OSCE and stuff taken over by Jews or pushing Jewish agendas.
And then you have the overall umbrella organizations like the American Jewish Congress and the big mother organization of them all, the World Jewish Congress, which is the not only the umbrella, it's the freaking balloon of Jewish organizations.
Yeah.
The World Jewish Congress rules them all.
Yeah.
ADL. Every Jew in this world, every Jewish organization answers to the World Jewish Congress.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
And this Wiesenthal Center is just part of this this evil. Stress how evil
they are. Look, think about it. They are keeping these kind of grudges for not just what they allege the Nazis do, which you know, during World War II, which we all know is lies, the fucking stories they tell, you know, about, oh, they love to throw burning, you know, babies into the burning pits, and just completely ludicrous lies, you know, oh, I survived 6 concentration camps. Stupid shit like that. Not only are they concerned and never forgive and never forget any of this bullshit about the remaining Nazi veterans that still might be alive. They do the same thing about Jesus 2,000 years ago, right? They don't want Christmas carols and shit like that sung because they still have a grudge against Jesus.
Could you remember this Christmas? Because you were in the States at the time, and I because you were in the States and I was over here, and I was looking through the internet and I got more of a perception of what was going on in the US, obviously, than I did on British telly. But what the hell was that menorah doing on the front lawn of the White House?
That wasn't the only thing that was fucked up.
What else was
I was watching in every single channel that I watched, like Fox News, or even a local station that was Fox or CBS or CNN. You know what they did in every pre-commercial? You know how they said, well, this is the holiday season, so the people that work there come up. Happy Hanukkah! Every fucking one. Everyone! And we're talking about people who are less than what? Less than 3% of the United States population?
Yeah.
What the fuck are they saying Happy Hanukkah? They don't say Happy Hanukkah to someone like, the Mormons or Merry Christmas to the Mormons or some other sect that's bigger than them. So, bigger than Jews are, larger than Jews are in the States. That just shows and demonstrates the power again. Where's the power at? The power is in the Jewish hands because they always gotta appease the Jews, right? And speaking of Austria, guess who else came from Austria? Adolf Hitler, of course. And Mozart, whose birthday recently was.
Mm-hmm.
And something I just learned about the greatest armorer of all Europe was the German named Susenhofer, which he's still highly regarded today, apparently, by the English armorer named Imerus or something, who says that this Austrian-German guy, Susenhofer, is his idol.
Unbelievable.
But, of course, the Jews, you know, again, they will not stop. They are evil. They want to persecute old men, like that story you brought up before about that guy in Australia.
Now they're after, says he, now they're after, I think, 77 yes, they are young men, but 93 years of age, I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
They have, this evil Wiesenthal Center says it has identified 83 suspects in Austria who are still alive. But Mr. Zeroff said that the 77 suspects currently being investigated by the Austrian authorities were being dealt with slowly and passively, and that time effort was being made to press charges against them. Well, you better hurry up because they're going to be going to Valhalla pretty soon.
Yeah.
But it just reinforces the evilness of the Jews and of the Jewish organizations. They're borderline evil.
Yeah.
Never forget. Never forget what? Something that never happened, a lie that they have perpetrated on the world that's bilking all these gullible Western governments and nations.
Right.
bulking a nation like the United States of America to flagrantly force war on a sovereign country, Iraq, in defense of a filthy fucking state called Israel. Bilking the American people to stop calling Christmas Christmas and call it a freaking holiday.
Yeah.
Happy holidays. What is that about? It's happy Christmas.
Season's greetings. Yeah,
happy holidays. No. It's happy Christmas.
Like I said, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And over here in England, it's happy Christmas. And guess what? Happy Christmas. And fuck you, Jews.
Yeah. Again, they hold that grudge. See, if they bring up this myth about themselves that they're some kind of great, humane, ideological people with this moral code of
chosen.
The Ten Commandments and all this bullshit.
But
they're not compassionate at all, right?
No.
They haunt old people for crimes which don't even exist. They don't care that the crimes don't exist. They don't care about that. They hate them just because of their association with National Socialism.
They bulldoze young Americans on hilltops in Palestine.
Yeah.
They bomb, kill, shoot. Everything you can imagine they are doing to the Palestinian people right now.
Yeah.
This evil.
See,
this
and
evil
when we say thing, evil,
they are evil.
We're talking
people.
About because of their actions, right? We're not saying, and we don't give a shit about their religion, right? What their religious beliefs are. You know, what they think in their synagogue or whatever. It doesn't matter because we wouldn't care about that if they weren't doing these bad things.
Hang on a minute. Now, if the synagogue was like a Catholic church, I would agree with that point of view. But a synagogue is not like a Catholic church. A synagogue is not like a Protestant church. A synagogue is not like a Baptist church. A synagogue is a center for Jewish activity, be it their so-called religious activity, which I believe the synagogue only takes up about 5% of the time. The rest of the time, the synagogue is made up of political, cultural, and activities that advance the Jewish race. That's what the synagogue's all about. Just like the Muslim temples in our white lands.
Mm-hmm.
They pray five times a day. I mean, really, come on now. That's the one correlation that the Muslims have with the Jews, with their so-called religious temples. Jews, about 5% of the time, is their so-called religion. The rest of the time, it's a center for pushing their Jewish interests within the white community, the white Aryan community. The Muslims one, just the same thing.
I agree with you, but my point is that again, we're not against the Jews or call them evil because of any religious beliefs.
No.
That has nothing to do with it.
No, I call them evil because they are evil as a race. They're a race masquerading as a religion to the world. The Jews.
It's because of what they do, right? That's what makes them evil. Anybody, right? Anybody, any race who acts like that, you got to say they're fucking evil. They're demonic. You can't describe it any other way.
Look through Jewish history. You can go on the internet now and you can just look through Jewish history. Just look of what they've done through time immemorial. They've been kicked out more countries. They've been expelled from more countries than I can even think of off the top of my head right now. Adolf Hitler said this in 1922. Israel will come to be, and it will be used as the bolt hole for criminals. He said that in 1922.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a bolt hole for criminals. If they screw up in the diaspora, there will be a country that will come about,
mm-hmm.
and it will be the bolt hole for these evil Jews.
Well, they can escape to, right? Yeah.
Hitler said that in 1922.
Yeah.
If that's not a visionary, I don't know why.
I know. Yep.
Because you know what? Here we are, 2006. It's come to pass.
It's come to pass.
All these crooked corporate Jews, if they can get away with it, they'll flee to Israel.
Right. And they won't extradite them, right? Because they don't do that.
Jews don't do that, no. Because as we know, Jews think differently than us Aryan people. Aryan people, as we all know, are kind, considerate, and are prepared to use an old Christian analogy, turn the cheek on people for the most part. Jews don't believe in that. Look at the Talmud. Look at that evil book, the Talmud. Good grief, just go get an English translation of that book and read it. Purim.
It's bad.
All the celebrations. All the celebrations of Jewry are victories of basically Jews against the Gentiles.
Yeah, it's destructive. It's, yeah, about wars they want. It's hateful. It's evil. It's spiteful. Look, and even, see, if we wanted to talk about religion, we can. If we wanted to talk about their Talmud and other beliefs, we can say, well, we'll give you examples why that's evil too. But in the stuff that we're talking about here, religion doesn't even have to play a part in it. And you could say, look, just by their behavior, you know, by the Jewish race is evil, because ordinary, most all the other races do not behave that way. And everybody can see, well, that's pretty immoral and hateful and spiteful.
There's a reason why the Jews have been expelled from all these countries. It's not because, that they played football badly, or that they played hockey badly, or they did something badly. There's a reason why these Jews were expelled from all our Aryan lands. And you can go, thank goodness for the internet, because you can go on now and you can look at why the Jews were expelled from Spain, Great Britain, and other Aryan lands. There's reasons why they got expelled. They didn't get expelled for the goodness of their health. They got expelled because they were against the state, against the indigenous population.
Yeah.
The great expulsion of 1290 in Great Britain, in England for the most part, what was the expulsion, was these Jews were clipping the coins of the king's realm, clipping the coins and putting it and smelting the gold. They were also ripping people off, left, right, poor English people, ripping them off.
Mm-hmm.
And but what happened in the 1290 expulsion was the king was trying his best to keep the Jews in England. The king didn't have a beef with the Jews at all. It was a groundswell of English people that couldn't take the Jew any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the groundswell of the English people said to King Edward I, they've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's going to be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You expel them, or we're going to take matters into our own hands. And King Edward I took that rising population of English people against the Jews and said, off you go.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1290 the Jews were expelled. There's an edict which is still today on the books that the Jews have been expelled.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the traitorous Oliver Cromwell, after the English Civil War, brought them back into the country, because the Jews in Amsterdam financed his revolution against King Charles I. The law of expulsion is still on the books.
Yeah, and of course, Oliver Cromwell's statue is right outside of Whitehall in Westminster.
Two things are going to happen.
Which is bad.
I read somewhere on some forum, which was a great idea. Two things are going to happen when we have a national socialist government in Great Britain. Two things. The first thing that's going to happen is the Winston Churchill statue is going to be ripped down, smelted, and rebuilt into a picture of, say, John Tyndall. The one of Oliver Cromwell is going to be ripped down, smelted, and rebuilt into a statue of Sir Oswald Mosley.
Yeah.
And I thought, that was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, comrades, if we ever come to power, which we will do one day, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it should happen. And, you know, going back to what you said, I mean, about the Jews getting kicked out and doing the wrong thing, and a lot of people getting angry at them, it's not even necessarily that all the Jews, you know, or most of the Jews actually caused the problems. Some of them, and in fact, a lot of times, it's their leaders and the people that are in power, that have risen to power, They cause the fucking biggest problems. It's like the neocons. That is a small group of Jews that have enormous influence and cause enormous damage. And the Jews who don't realize, who give them support and give the ADL money and the American Jewish Congress money and donations and support the Wiesenthal Center and everything else, they don't realize that they are going to suffer the repercussions from their bad leadership. You know, they need to get that through their head, that those guys that are up there that cause so much mayhem and destruction and chaos and problems, when they get their comeuppance, all Jews are going to suffer. And if they were smart, they'd say, you know, hey, stop it. You know, we'd put a stop to it. But they're not. They cannot help themselves. They will continue to do that because you know why? Because there's just general belief, is according to Professor McDonald, is that Gentiles, our worldview, our opinions and everything, they don't matter at all. What we believe in and all that stuff, it's just garbage. The only thing that matters is what other Jews think and believe and the way they want to run things. That's it. So when you have that kind of ideology or belief system from the time you're a little kid, when that's hammered into your head and you get older, I mean, you really believe, and if you really believe that, what are you going to do? Obviously, you're going to ignore anything else that any Gentiles say against Jews because you think, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's nonsense. Only the ones that know what they're doing are Jews.
Aryan people are kind people. We are kind people. We will help other people who are in need, who need help. Aryan people will do that out of the goodness of their heart. Aryan people who don't have much money in their pockets will help a fellow Aryan. It's instinctively will help them in some financial way. Need a job, will help them. But the Jews are so Judaic-centric that they will not only help themselves, they will hurt other people to make sure that their people are okay. That's something that Aryans will never do. Jews will hurt other people, other races, other religions, so long as the Jew or the family of the Jew or any part of the Jew will be okay. That's how evil they are.
That's right. And the second thing that I want to talk about was there's this video and DVD going around on the internet in the States that somebody gave me, which is David Cole, who's a Jew. I'm not sure if he's an American Jew or Canadian Jew.
Wasn't that an old video about 10 years ago or something?
It's pretty old. It's pretty old, actually. I think it was made in 1992 originally.
Oh.
And, of course, when it came out, it didn't have much of a circulation, of course, because these things don't get circulated very much. And I saw an old copy of it on the internet that I downloaded years ago, just a huge file, but it looked awful.
Mm.
But they've recently come out with, DVD and VHS versions of it.
White Genius.
Yeah, and I recommend everybody to see that because what this thing shows is, again, a Jew going to Auschwitz, interviewing the tour guides, two women, and interviewing the curator at the time, which is Dr. Franciszek Pieper, and the guy admitting all kinds of incorrect things and lies that have been told to the touring public, you know, about these makeshift gas chambers and everything else. And when David Cole, who's an atheist but is a Jew, he wears his yarmulke and goes there, of course they're going to appease him and do whatever he wants, so he gets to ask as many obnoxious, you know, questions as he wants. The thing, well, is this really a chamber, and was this wall really here, or were there walls here, and were these holes in the roof, were they here at the time, and blah blah blah. Well, the main thing to keep in mind about that is that he goes through that story and all the details of that, asking them, begging them basically to prove their case. If this is a scientific fact that they're telling people that the Germans, you know, actually kill people here, again, we go back to this whole blood libel thing of an accusation against the Germans for doing this. If they can prove it, they better prove it. And they better prove it very convincingly. But what you find out, and this is what one of the things that he brings up in the thing, is the entire Holocaust story, which, again, the Iranian president wants to investigate, and everybody should want to investigate and say, let's get this out in the open here, folks. The entire Holocaust story is based on only two pieces of so-called evidence. One is the eyewitness testimonies, which have been proved time and time again to be completely fraudulent and wrong and not reliable in any case. And number two,
Spielberg has spent millions on that Shoah project he's done of all these eyewitnesses. We must keep all these eyewitnesses and get their testimony.
Yeah.
But he's not prepared to put these witnesses in the court of law on
cross-examination. No, of course not, because they'd fall apart, right? Their stories would fall apart, just like it did in the first Zindel trial in 1985 and in 88. When they got up there, this guy Rudolf Verba, this Jew, his stories completely fell apart, and he had to admit that this book that he wrote, of course, he used, you know, what's it called? License, right? Mm-hmm. Poetic license or whatever. It wasn't really the exact truth. He had to use some little bit of, you know, because he's an author, he's a writer, he's an artist, so he can use his license on bullshit. Anyway, the second thing, it hangs on two things. Again, this is what Cole and they all admit here at this Auschwitz thing, or they show to him that this was the case, was the whole Holocaust story is on two things. One is eyewitness testimony, and number two is confessions. That is it. And we know that the confessions, which very little there are of that too, were bullshit because they were done by torture. In many cases, the German prisoners had to sign things that were written in English, and they didn't know how to read English. So how the hell did they know what they were signing? Well, they didn't. So again, that's all it is. All the other stories that they come up with about big electrocution, you know, chambers, about being all these big burning pits that people were thrown into, about being killed by carbon monoxide gas from trucks. All that stuff has been disproven. Or the fact, again, is never proven in the first place. The same thing with the gas chambers. Yes, Zyklon B was used as a disinfecting agent. Yes, there were other methods of disinfecting, like steam and other things. But there was never any proof or any evidence at all in any documentation, in any decrypted messages that the Allies did, because they had decrypted the German secret message encryptions, including ones to Auschwitz. Nothing to say that there was any homicidal gas chambers.
If you look at the way the Jews pushed this so-called holo hoax, as I like to call it, if you're a keen observer of this infestation of Jewish power, it keeps changing all the time. It keeps changing all the time. People's, what they say about what happened, it keeps changing all the time. There's no concrete. If this thing really happened, if this automated racial extermination of the Jewish race was done by National Socialist Germany, right? Now, if it happened to the point of 6 million Jews were exterminated, were gassed in this methodical manner, there would be a methodical manner of how it was done.
Exactly.
So therefore, everyone would know how it was done.
Exactly.
But if you're a keen observer of this this infestation, as I call it, of Jewish power, because they are infestation, it is an infestation of Jewish power. Everyone you see on the telly or whatever, every survivor story
changing,
is different.
Right? Yeah.
And you look at that Schindler's List with the and the camera pans up to the chimney and the fire flames are shooting out the chimney. It's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. You ask any crematoria specialist, he'd say, one thing's for sure, if you're burning that many people, there won't be no fire like that coming off the chimney.
Yeah.
You know, it's just absolute bogus.
It's bogus. It's completely unrealistic, and yeah, things don't work that way. You gotta laugh after a while. Once you start researching these stories that this Jews, quote unquote, survivors telling, It's laughable. It's ridiculous to think anybody would ever believe some of the bullshit stories. There was something about, I remember reading once about some train pulling into Auschwitz, and when the people got off the train, they could barely get out of the train because there was all these bodies all around, laying around, piled up outside the train. And German guards were going through the pockets and taking watches and taking rings off of things. It's like, what the hell is all this? Who can believe that? But people do, and Americans do, and that's why, you know, we pay for it. We suffer for it. The Palestinians are suffering for it physically. Germans are, and everybody else are suffering for it basically economically, right? Because we're paying for all these bullshit reparations. Somebody else brought up, and this is a good point, that the people that tell these Holocaust stories and go around to American high schools and British high schools and say, you know, I was a survivor of this camp and this is what I saw and all this bullshit, those are the same people who back years ago were the same kind of people that they get in trouble and get in prison because they were selling some miracle potion, selling some snake oil, trying to rip off the people. They were pickpocketing. If someone said they were in the camp and they can prove they were in some camp, now they can, guess what? Now, 50 years later, 30 years later, whenever it was that they started to jump on this bandwagon, mainly it was, I think it was in the 70s when the Holocaust bullshit really took off, they can now say, now I have a free meal ticket here. People will pay me to come and talk to me about my experiences. Real or imagined, of course, they are all imagined, guaranteed. They are all imagined, you know, in the Holocaust, you know, the Third Reich and the stories. They now have a free meal ticket. What that is, I said, it's guaranteed that it's false, because if you listen to, like, Forreson on all the details of what really happened in Germany and how the guards were expected to treat the prisoners, you discover that they were punished. The guards were punished for even mistreating, even slapping a prisoner, let alone, now we're supposed to think, well, why are all these records show that certain SS guards and other guards and people were punished for mistreating a Jew or a prisoner, but it's okay to kill them? You know? That doesn't make any damn sense. And, of course, it won't make any sense to people that believe the Holocaust story, but to us it does, because there was no Holocaust. There was no planned extermination. They couldn't kill people and at the same time be punished for actually mistreating them and kicking them in the ass and stuff like that. There are actually reports of German soldiers being punished for kicking somebody in the ass to get them to move fast. Okay? And again, it's okay to kill them, but it's not okay to kick them in the ass to get them to move. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You never see about the great labor camp of Auschwitz. You never see that on the Jewish media about they had a swimming pool, or they had a concert hall, or they had tree-lined streets at Auschwitz. You never hear that. You never hear that in the Jewish media.
Nope.
Because the what do you call it? The slick oil salesman.
Yeah.
The
snake oil salesman.
The snake oil salesman is the Jew.
Right.
And his ilk. They are the ultimate snake oil salesman.
Right.
And they're trying to sell us a potion of this holo hoax that it's slowly it's evaporating, and we only have to go back to the great book of Mein Kampf and what Adolf Hitler said about the great lie.
Right.
Lee will tell you about the great lie.
Well, what Hitler said mainly is that the bigger a lie is, the more people will believe it. And of course, a lot of people know that. That's quoted in that movie by the Jew Oliver Stone about JFK, where the prosecutor says that, you know, Hitler said the bigger a lie is, the more people will believe it. And he's right, but what Hitler was saying was Jews figured that out, that if they told a big lie, again, no one would believe anybody could be so outrageous to tell such a huge lie. Just the average Aryan person does not behave that way. So they would say, well, of course he can't be lying, because who would tell such a big outrageous lie? It's got to be for real. Yeah. And that's what they do, and that's what the story is with the Holocaust.
Now, the Jew being the great snake oil salesman has turned that around and has said that Adolf Hitler said that.
Right.
So there you go. It was the Hitler saying that the Jew is the maestro of the big lie.
Right.
And now the ultimate snake oil salesman, as I think we should call the Jew from now on, is he turned that around And now everyone in the world believes, who's not educated, about National Socialism and the Third Reich era and of Adolf Hitler and the Mein Kampf. They all believe that Hitler said about this big lie.
Absolutely.
It was Adolf Hitler who said about the big lie. No, it wasn't. It was these evil Jews.
That's right.
I'm losing my voice because I'm... It just yanks my chain.
That's right. And what you said, too, about, you know, what else do you not hear about Auschwitz? Well, there's lots of things. Like, there's a bordello. And like you said, there was a concert area. They put on plays, you know. And
of course, concerts?
Yeah, put on concerts and plays. Most of it was for convalescence, for rehabilitation, for the people who were hospitalized to get better. And again, it makes sense. Because Auschwitz was what? It was a labor camp, mainly. And a transit camp, right? It was for people going through. They were on their way out. Okay, if they were sick, they couldn't keep going on the train to wherever the hell they were going, you know, Hungary or wherever the next stop was, to the next camp, you know, so they were moving them out. And so they put them there in the hospital to make them better. And again, the laborers the same way. They needed them for the war effort. They were working on the rubber plants to make tires for the war. You know, they were gathering that. And that was their job. They had to be good. They had to be healthy. And that's why they did everything that they could to keep them healthy.
It's hilarious. The I must admit, though, the revisionists have done a great job here. They have dug deep. They have lost their incomes. The Jews have slandered them. They've lost their lives, some of them, for the most part. They've lost everything. Revisionists, for the most part, have been cast as pariahs.
Oh, yeah.
But what they have unearthed in the just past 20 years has been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And these Jews can't answer it. And when Jews can't answer you, just like Nick Griffin and the rest, they will attack you and they will go after you. They'll persecute you. They'll try and lock you up. They'll put you in prison. They'll get rid of you any which way they can.
Yeah.
If they believe that you know that what you're saying is other people will believe you rather than them.
Right.
If you go back to what after the Second World War, I mean, this all just started in the 50s or so. Poland had all these extermination camps, unquote, and they were firing up the Jews and they were gassing all these Jews, and this is where there's 6 million, maybe more, 12 million Jews and gypsies and homosexuals, and everyone else was getting fired up in the gas chambers, and it was a glory, glory, hallelujah, firing up of these people. But revisionists set to work about all these so-called extermination camps, and you know what? It's just come down to one camp now, and that's Auschwitz. All these other camps have been proven by the revisionists were just transit camps or just concentration camps to keep people there,
yeah,
because they were against the state. But these camps, which were called extermination camps, are now just basically labor camps. I mean, concentration camps for people. Only one camp still stands as the ultimate hoax of extermination. That's Auschwitz. But even that's falling apart because the Jews said 4 million people were gassed, exterminating them of Auschwitz. But now, since revisionists have come along and tackled these tough subjects and been persecuted by the Jews for it, the Jews moved a plaque that said 4 million, and it went down to 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to those three plus million Jews? Did they just evaporate? Did they just get out their graves and put their suits on and went back to shifting the rest of us again? What happened to those so-called 3 million Jews that were on their plaque? It keeps changing.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what Adolf Hitler said about the big lie. This holo hoax, the Holocaust, is the big lie. And as Adolf Hitler said in Mein Kampf, they are the perpetrators of the big lie.
Yeah.
And this is the most monumental, humongous, whatever word you want to say, rip-off of a gangster organization,
yeah,
called International Jury, Simon Wiesenthal Center, the Anti-Defamation League, the British Board of Deputies of Jews in England, and all the rest of them in all our Aryan lands, and Israel's the focal point, the criminal entity point of this diaspora of crime,
yeah,
the gangsters. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Rip off the goyim.
Yeah. One thing you got to keep in mind, too, is that just like the big lie has been pushed back on Hitler, every single thing they say is 180 degrees the opposite. It is absolutely... You should, whatever they say, you should reverse it, and that's probably the truth. It's like the Holocaust itself. Okay, that word, Holocaust, what does that mean? That means burning something, right? And they used to use that when they burned something for a sacrifice. Burning something completely. Well, again, the Jews were never burned. Even in these gas ovens, they were gassed, allegedly, and not burned up. But guess who was burned up? The Germans. Dresden, Hamburg, you know, all these other cities that were firebombed, where people died in fire. You know, 250,000 people at least in Dresden in one night burned up. See, that's what they did. They did it. They caused it. Okay, now, the same thing with, okay, this whole accusation of killing masses and number of people. Guess who did it? In the Bolshevik Revolution, shortly after that, in the Red Terror. Who killed millions of people? And of course there were millions of Christians and Gentiles, is the Jewish leaders did. They're the ones who committed this whole mass murder. And again, here it is again, they flop it around. They didn't do anything wrong. The Germans did something wrong in World War II, but you know, there's no talk about what the Jews did when they did, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution and the Red Terror and all that. They, again, anything they say, you can almost guarantee, just reverse it. And it will be their fault. You know, it'll be pointing the finger back at them is the right thing to do on anything they say, because they've proved it over and over again. The attack on the USS Liberty, what were they going to do? If they really sunk that American ship, the Liberty, they were going to blame it on Egypt. Again, you could have taken that, wait a minute, they're blaming Egypt. Turn the finger back around. They fucking did it themselves. I mean, it's that simple. That kind of stuff you could do over and over again.
And when you have control of the greatest country, one of the greatest countries the world's ever seen, the United States of America, when a small clique, a small cabal of Jews, which is backed up by a organization, a lobbying organization, which has control over your Senate and your Congress. Let's reflect on this right now. This small cabal, who are called the neocons, we like to call them the Jewish neo-guns, the cabal of Fife, Wormer, the rest of them. They control the president. And now we have AIPAC, who control your congressmen and senators. Guess what? Who runs your country? dig a bit deeper. Who owns Hollywood?
Yeah.
Who owns about 99% of your newspapers?
Right.
Your communications media, radio, television.
Right.
Let's just look at that, everybody. You don't have to dig too deep to see who controls the United States of America.
Right.
The greatest nation on the planet. Once you understand that, then you understand the bolt hole in the Middle East, Israel. These Jews want Israel to survive, so therefore they will make sure that this huge country will go after the enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science.
No.
But once you understand the true nature of the Jew and what's going on, then it's like a big jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. It all comes together.
It does.
And your worldview goes, whoa.
Well, that's right. Then you understand everything. You understand how the world works, how everything fits together, how things happen or why they happen, why the terrorism.
Yeah, how the world really works.
Yeah.
And you know what? Osama bin Laden didn't fly those four planes, two of them into the trade centers, one into the Pentagon, and one which fell into the ground of Pennsylvania. He did not do that because he hated our freedom.
Right.
As Mr. Bush and the Jewish cabal and the rest of Jewry would tell you.
Right.
Reason why Osama bin Laden did that was because, and he said quite plainly, when the attack was completed, he came out with a statement and he said, don't let the Jews run your country, and you should have a nationalist country where you put your people first.
Right.
stay out of the Middle East.
Right.
And you know what? As National Socialists, we agree with them. We should not be in the Middle East. The Middle East is for Middle Easterners, the Arab people. That's their countries. That's their land. We should not be in there. We don't believe in colonization. That's their land. Area land is our land. If we can come to a situation where we will disengage from the Middle East, let Israel be on her own. We're not going to give her $3 billion a year from the United States Treasury. We're going to build a border on Mexico, on the border. We're going to use that $3 billion that the United States pays for Israel. That should be put on the Mexican border to build a freaking wall the size that Israel's building on the Palestinian side in the Middle East. That's what we should do. Disengage our people from their land. And you know what will happen? We will live quite comfortably with our Arab friends. Because I assume as friends, they're, as long as they're in the Middle East.
There's no reason for them to be our enemies. It's only because the Jews have made them.
They know about the Jews.
And they're the enemies of the Jews.
The Arabs know about the Jews because the Arabs have been fighting the Jews for, 40 years. Yep. Arabs know about the Jews.
Yep.
We don't have to tell the Arabs about the Jews. The
right.
Arabs know well what the Jews are about. We, as Aryan, enlightened Aryan people, have got to enlighten our people in our lands about what the hell's going on here.
Right.
And try and wake them up. Got to wake them up to the situation. And I think we are on the right way.
So anyway, I think we cover a lot about that stuff. I just wanted to say that everybody should see that David Cole video about Auschwitz. Everybody should see it because if you especially pass it around to your believer friends, because they'll be shocked, you know, that this Jew is going out there and saying, "Hey, look, guys, this story is a bunch of bullshit."
Where can you buy that from?
Oh, several places. We'll put links up.
Okay. I want to go into our roundtable section of the program of Area Matters right now. What do you think about Christianity and the movement in general? Do you think that we should criticize Christianity or religion? Or what do you feel about that?
Well,
I have my opinion on it. What's your opinion?
Well, it's just... obviously... religion is not the same thing as politics. So everybody's, it's like Thomas Jefferson said, and I believe this myself, he said, "I am a cult of my own." And I believe that myself. I have my certain religious beliefs, but I have them and I know they're probably different from everybody else. And I'm pretty sure they're different from everybody else. But I was raised Catholic. But even so, even if I was still a devout Catholic, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here as what is a proper political organization and leadership and how is the country supposed to run. Just like the founding fathers in America wanted separation of church and state, because we don't want a theocracy, right? So anybody saying that you've got to keep pushing a religion to be a theocracy, no, that's not right. That's my opinion. It's only going to be divisive because there's so many different sects of Christianity and different beliefs. You know, it's not just Protestant, Catholic. There's a lot more than that. And that's not our main thing. And the only one who now pushes, the only ones who I know of in the world who push some kind of you have to be this religion are the Muslims, right? Because they want, and it's part of their religion, they want a theocracy. There is no difference there. They want a government that is religious. We don't want that. We want the old way the founding fathers wanted. You can have any religion you want as long as it, of course, doesn't hurt everybody else, you know, that you live with. Then, you know, if your religion was going around killing people, you know, or, you know, something like that, that's obviously another story. But if you want to believe and worship however you want, you know, that's the way it should be. So what do you think about it?
I believe a person's religion is integral to his or her own being, and it should be a private matter. Religion should be a private matter. It shouldn't be any other person's issue of if you are religious, no matter what religion you are, if you practice your religion on a regular basis, you know. But it's two ways. You shouldn't be pushing your religion on other people, mm-hmm. especially in this movement. You shouldn't be pushing your religion on other people, and therefore other people shouldn't be criticizing religion per se. I think it's mm-hmm. totally divisive. There's a great story during the Third Reich when a Gao propaganda leader in Bavaria approached the Führer Adolf Hitler and said he wanted to take down all the crosses, all the crucifixes in the schools in Bavaria, mm-hmm. take them all down. Hitler knew what a divisive situation that would have been had he given the green light for the Gauleiter to take down all the crucifixes in the school, because mm-hmm. he knew that he didn't want religion involved in the National Socialist Movement. That wasn't what it was about. The National Socialist Movement was a racial, political organization to win power for the German people, to bring about renaissance of the German people. Mm-hmm. Once they brought about, once they came to power and the renaissance started, he didn't want a Gauleiter to go around there taking down all these crucifixes that could start a little whirlwind in Bavaria, mm-hmm. which could spread across the country like wildfire. Mm-hmm. You know, it's utterly divisive. Religion, for my own personal situation, and what I feel is, it's a person's internal private matter, and that person should keep that a private matter, and they should not bring it out. People who aren't religious shouldn't have a go.
Yeah.
Even though, no matter how they feel about it, they should respect that person's religion and just move on. Our movement should be about politics, political structure, and how to win power for the renaissance of our people.
Yeah.
Religion shouldn't be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, even that example of what Hitler did is right. He could have asked that the Gauleiter, well, what harm is it doing? You know, do you really think, and can you show to me that these crosses are causing some harm? It's probably not. And so for taking them down, all of a sudden you've just made it a big issue, and that's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings, and there's going to be a lot of strife and conflict over what? Over something that probably wasn't an issue to begin with. You know, to think that it made a big difference, again, that the crosses were there, is probably not true. And then to take them down, that is showing something which is not what, you know, like you said, the government represented. It was not anti-Christian, so why do it? I mean, I agree with you 100%. That's just, it's not the right thing to do.
It's just totally divisive. It divides comrades. It divides fellow national socialists, white nationalists, whatever you want to call us. It's totally divisive, and it's counterproductive to what we want to build here. We want to build a racial, political organization that can win power for our people. That note,
and we're never going to agree, right? Mm-hmm. There's people always going to have different interpretations of their Bible and their religion and what Jesus said or what Jesus meant. We're never going to agree. What I say to people who say, "Well, look, you've got to have, it's got to be a Christian movement, otherwise it won't win, it won't survive." I say, "Well, okay, are you part of the movement and you think that what we're doing is the right thing?" Well, yeah. I mean, in general, you know, you're the right political party, you're doing the right thing, and okay, well, if that's the case and you're a believer, then you pray to your God for us and you know, your Jesus for us and your version of Him for us to all succeed. You know, you be part of the solution instead of being part of the problem by saying that we are part of the problem. You've got to say we're all in this together, and you know, I want my Jesus or my, you know, God to here to help us out. That's it. You shouldn't come to us and say, well, we are doomed to fail, or God is going to make us fail, or God's not going to support us. Well, you help Him support us, if that's your belief.
And once you get into a good old English expression here, once you get into a pissing match over religion, do you know what? No one's a winner.
Nope.
No one is a winner, man. Nope. And it gets really evil really quick.
It does.
It really does get evil really, really quick.
Yeah, people take it so personally, even though it's not what you mean. And yeah, like you said, it's just nothing but counterproductive. There's no reason to bring it up. If you want to have a private discussion with a friend of yours offline, you know, having nothing to do with the party or changing what we want to do, that's fine. But if you start to say, well, your politics are wrong, the party's wrong because of my religion, well, guess what? You're in the wrong cause.
I feel it's also divisive to say that our movement can't move forward unless we demolish certain Christian icons.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that is utterly divisive.
Mm-hmm.
How can you go around our movement at the moment and say, well, our movement can't move forward unless we demolish these certain Christian icons? It's irrelevant
right
to the political struggle of our movement and our people.
Right, and you know, they've changed before. If you say, well, now, you know, they are so pro-Marxist, right? They're basically Marxist and egalitarian, and they're causing these problems, you know, bringing in all these Somalis or whatever the hell else. Yeah, but you know what? Before, they weren't like that. So they changed once, in one way being, you know, pro the white race and racially thinking. They changed once. Guess what? They can change again. They can change their thinking. It's not something that can't be overcome where you can say, look, these guys will never change. You know, that's not it. If you're talking about them, you're talking about Jews. Jews are the problem, and we can't change them. But when we're talking about our fellow, you know, Aryan brothers, they can change, you know, for the better. We can change ourselves in our religious beliefs. That's not the issue. Like you said, it's just divisive. It's not going to help bringing it up. It's not. There's no point in it.
We need to focus on the politics and not the religious aspect.
Right.
Think politics. Think racially. Think our people. And let's think forward. Let's move forward. Let's build this movement in all our Aryan lands. Let's build it. Let's grow it. It's growing like unbelievably growing right now. And as the years grow on, and as the truth comes out, and what we believe in, and our cause is truthfulness, it's honest. It's going to the stars, as Dr. Pierce said.
Yeah.
Our day is coming.
Yep.
The day of white man. We're not going to die. If we are going to die, we're not going to die slowly, that's for sure. But we're not going to die. We're going to live on. We're going to fight on. Aryan man can put men on the moon, can put rovers on Mars, can build unique things amongst in our lands. We're not going to die, but we need you to help us to spread the word. Any questions, you can write to us at askaneonazi@yahoo.com. We'd like your input. We'd like to thank everybody who wrote to us at the email. We had tons of email about Lee, and we thank you for that. We thank the great Stan Sikorsky on Vanguard News Network. You can go there at govnn.com. I want to thank Stan for his kind words about Lee and his illness, and everybody else on all the boards. All the boards were asking about Lee and what was going on. I want to thank everybody. We appreciate your comments and we appreciate your support. From Aryan Masses, this extended version, this is James Hawthorne.
And this is Lee Gardner.
Wishing you a great, great week, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, everybody.